2. Master of Mankind. The word-bearers have assembled for you. Thousands of them, lining the approachways to the main bridge levels. They sing your name, yell it, a raw, bawling chorus of homage. You walk through their midst, nodding, accepting the praise, indulging them, almost shaken by the volume of their massed voices. None of them dares to look directly at you. None can bear to. You are too glorious for even their post-mortal eyes. As you move through them, as your immense shadow passes over them, they look away determinedly, tears in their eyes, trying not to glimpse you as they chant your name. There is fury in that chant. It's almost manic desperation. It feels as though they are afraid of stopping, or taking breath, or pausing, as though screaming your name is the only thing that's keeping them alive. Maybe it is. You raise your hand in a modest gesture to acknowledge their adoration, and enter the main bridge. Inside, they are waiting for you, which is only right. The seniors, the commanders, your inner circle. You smile a generous smile as you enter the grand expanse of the bridge, the smile a father bestows upon his extended family, and they bow, just as they should. "Rise," you say. They rise. They gaze up at you in awe, at the regal, smoke-dark mountain of your towering figure. You loom over them. The stature of a new-forged god, the solemn authority of a dark king. "You were waiting for me?" you ask with a wry smile.
"We were, great Lupercal," says your equerry.
"Very good, Malachurst." What was that? Did he just correct you under his breath? Did he murmur, "Argonis"? Did he just shoot a nervous look at the senior officers standing nearby? He's a fool, but you'll excuse him. Everyone is overexcited. You can feel the tension in the room, like the leaden air before a thunderstorm breaks. The eagerness, the anticipation. This is what they all live for. Victory, triumph, conquest, compliance. This is what the Lunar Wolves were bred for. Your sons, not a loser among them. As victory approaches, they gather like wolves indeed, scenting the kill to come. The looming end and the imminent death. "Let us review, then," you declare. You move to the great strategium, the projection table upon which you have planned and executed every one of your victories. Such has been the scale of your career on this warship with these men, in victory after victory. The table has a patina of use. The Auramite edges and control surfaces are almost burnished from the repeated touch of hands, the hololithic plates scuffed and worn from tapping fingertips and demonstrative gestures. It should be replaced, really, or at least fully serviced by the adepts, but you can't bring yourself to instruct it. It is a fine device. It has been your instrument of command down the decades, moulded to your touch. Fatigued by your hands, a hard-working tool of warfare and an artifact of your military legacy. It will be in a museum one day. There will be a placard. "Upon this tactical device, Horus Lupercal, Master of Mankind, planned out his conquests and built the Imperium." It is fitted to you, like a good sword or a favourite bolter. It is a weapon. A weapon wielded by your mind as your hand wields a blade. You would rather cast out an heirloom gladius. Sentimental? Perhaps. You may be excused sentiment at this hour. You are human, after all. Someone has left tarot cards scattered on the strategium surface. Oh, that's very sloppy. How unlike the command carder. The Harlequin of Discordia, the Eye, the Great Host,
the shattered world, the labyrinthine path, the throne reversed, the Hulk, the moon, the martyr, the monster, and the lightning tower. All major Arcanoi. The Dark King is askew across the Emperor card. You sweep them onto the floor. You light the table. The palace appears, a three-dimensional light form expressed in micro detail at millisept sigma resolution, a standard broad appraisal that includes climate patterns and rendered atmospherics. The smoke bank is so wide and thick there is virtually nothing to see, just a blur, a greyness, as though dusty cloaks have been heaped across the plate. My sons, you say. Such a pity to behold. Our target site has seen better days. You laugh. Someone else laughs, though it's more of a whisper. Swift haptic gestures peel the atmospherics back, erasing layers of cloud. When you finally reveal the palace beneath, it takes you by surprise. An awful thing to see. A dolorous thing. It is heartbreaking. For a moment you suspect that someone, perhaps Ezekiel or Tarik, has loaded a simulation of the surface of some blasted moon or volcanic planetesimal as a joke. Just the sort of prank they'd pull to ease the tension. But it's not a moon. It's not a joke. The punctured, cratered, punished relief is the Zone Imperialis Terra. A ruined wasteland the size of a major nation-state. The palace is almost entirely gone. The fool, you think. The stupid, blind, unreasonable, arrogant fool. He did this. He made this happen. He brought this hell down upon himself. His pride earned this wrath. So damn him. For he has brought this hell down on millions besides, on billions. They have suffered this because of him, those innocent multitudes. It is almost unbearably sad. But the state of the city is inevitable. You can't be stalled by tragedy. You clear your throat. Call up dispositional overview, you tell your equerry. My lord, says one of the command carder. There are issues we should address. An overview first, I think, you say. My lord Lupercal, the issues are critical. Are they, Sejanus, critical? You snap. You pause. Emotion has got the better of you for a moment. You find a smile. Forgive my abruptness, Hester, you say. I meant no rebuke. I would like an overview before we scrutinize details. Of course, my lord. But are you going to press this, Captain Sejanus? What, I wonder, do the Morneval think of you questioning a direct instruction? The Morneval, sir? Can they not speak for themselves, Captain? They are not here, my lord, says your equerry. He sounds timid. He doesn't want to point out your slip. Of course they're not here. Of course. They're on the surface, even now, leading the compliance. Of course. What a stupid mistake to make. Sejanus is only here to... Sejanus is only here to report... And the others... What a very stupid mistake to make in front of them. Correct it. Move on. Show confidence. They're all looking at you. The officers, the tacticians, even the young woman, Oliton. She's there at the back, stylus in hand. Right there, between Nero Vipus and Luke Sedere. And the tall things. The tall things that stand by the door and whisper. Overview, you say. Now, please. Your equerry steps in. He adjusts the display. The tabula topographica shifts to project a tactical breakdown. Your armies laid out upon the table. Baraxa has second company here, he tells you, pointing, alongside Abaddon and First. They have cut in deep and approached the limit of the Gilded Walk. Bolt and Third Company hold here. Vorus Ikari has advanced Fourth Company rapidly, almost to the confessional.
With typical haste, you remark. Ikari is rash, too hungry for...
Some might say, my lord, but Fifth, under Barudin, and a unit of the Justerin, led by Ekron Fal, have flanked his reckless overstretch here and here, and have actually cut off the Praetorian southern line.
They have. It's rather elegant. A daring but precise extension, the sort of spear-tip tactic you might have devised and drilled them in so that it could be sublimely executed. Perhaps you did. Perhaps Ikari was simply obeying your instruction with that bold run of his. Yes, of course. That's it. Beautiful. Your plan, exactly. That couldn't have been accomplished without expert oversight. And who else but you is overseeing this?
Sykar sweeps the remainder of the Justerin along this line in support of Abaddon.
Malachurst goes on, rotating the image. It's funny. You hadn't noticed before quite how much he resembles that battle brother from First Company's Storm Eagle Carder. What is his name? The one with the unmarked face. Kynor? Argonis, yes. Argonis. The likeness is uncanny.
Malabra, master of the Catulan Reavers, has broken through here, with 17th Legion support, and is on the brink of taking Predicant Bastion and the Hall of Ushers.
Then it is all as you ordained, as you laid it out. You hope the Lady Oliton is paying close attention. You hope she is getting this all down, word for word, for this is the very essence of your genius, your potency as a martial savant. You have brought your finest game to the table at this, the most crucial moment of your career. And of these here, you ask, in the vanguard between Ezekiel and dear Saika, which units are these again? Your equerry coughs awkwardly. Mal, which units? Who commands them?
I do not know their names, my lord,
he says to you. How can you not know their names, you ask? It's preposterous. Thousands of men tearing into the sanctum, and their units are unidentified.
We don't know the names yet, says Leac.
Not all of them, lord, says Sejanus.
Not yet.
Are these not the warriors you summoned to support us, Leac? You ask. Are these not the very ones you let in yourself?
Zardu Leac nods. He smiles. There is blood on his teeth.
We thought you might tell us their names, lord, says Sejanus. Yes, of course. They want you to grandstand a little. Show off your mastery with the Remembrancer watching. How clever of them to engineer an opportunity for you to magnify your own legend. You bend down and peer at the display, and you increase the resolution. You say, as I thought, as though you were testing them. We have Quetel, and there his steeds, and here the Juggernauts, and here those that are the letters out of blood, and here the Pestigori, and the Zangori, and here Scarabus, and here the Drachnian host, and here Proud Bellacor, and here the ones that are of the Doombreed, and here Rugguari Ihululan, and here Unkari, and here the Bank Goranhi Akami upon their palanquins, and besides them the Sunoi, and the Heartslayer, and Kahal, and Karnate Iletanin, and Old Father Kugath, and Scarbrand and Epidemius, and those of the Mask, and Karanak and Wily Subferus,
and ancient Talamin, and that which is Ulavorix, and iron-willed Axenea, and Abraxes, and Ulcair, and weeping Geobates, and Ushpectar, and the storming ruin of Madale, and Gargatuloth, and Gianlo, and Mephidas, and Mkar, and Coluseth, and here, the one who walks behind us, whose name is Samus, and all of them, all that is and was and ever will be. You hear them echo it, is and was and ever will be. You hear Oliton's stylus scratching at her slate, recording every word. The air has turned cold. You can tell how impressed they are, how excited, but also how scared. This is no common undertaking, and there is no reason to pretend that it is. It is time to change your tone. "We never wanted this," you say. "We never asked for it. Sons and brothers, I know how you feel, for I feel it too. This is the last thing we wanted to happen, and it seems unthinkable that we are doing it. I want you to understand that I know that. If I had thought, during the Crusade, in the 30 sweet years of... If I had thought, when my father saved my life on Relis... If I had thought for one moment..." You take a deep breath. "He is false," you say quite plainly. There is a murmur from them, a whisper and a murmur. "He is false. He is a false god, and he has played us false. He has used us to further his petty dreams, his preposterous vision of the future. We are of his blood, but we are not his children. I am not his son. He made us merely to use us, and to use us up. How much of our blood has he spilled? How many of our lives have we given? He has constructed a plan, shared it with no one, and expected us to blindly enact it for him. Well, my sons, my beautiful sons, we are strong and we are loyal, but we are also clever. We have done enough and seen enough to understand the true abomination of his scheme. It will annihilate everything we love and everything we believe in. So it must be stopped. This I told him. This we all told him. But he did not listen, and he did not cease. So he must be made to cease. Though my heart is broken, my loyalty is not. I am loyal to the throne. I am loyal unto death, to the Imperium of mankind, but not to him." You look away, as if to contemplate the grandeur of the bridge and the helm serfs and steersmen at work below, but in truth, it is to conceal the tear in your eye. "He withheld," you say, "shamelessly. He used us as toys, as playthings, and spent us as though our blood was nothing. But more than that, when we beheld by accident, by happenstance, the truth of all that is, he denied it to us. He denied us the power and the magnitude, the shining glory of eternity, claiming it was not for us, and that we were too small and weak to own it or use it. And worse, as it turns out, he had kept it from us all along. Forever. He has kept the truth of what we might be from us, in case, I think, we came to eclipse his status. He wanted it for himself, all of it. Well, I am not weak. We are not weak. And he is not the father I once loved." You look to the officers, to Haster and Luke and Zardu. Assist me with this, you say. You hold out the power talon. Detach it. They come forward, and between them unclamp the seals and disconnect the power ammunition feeds. Hastur slides it off your right hand. You take it from him and drop it onto the strategium table. The image of the burning palace shivers, disrupted, and the glass projection plate cracks. The talon almost covers the entire tabletop. With your freed right hand, you unclasp the gauntlet of your left hand. You drop that on the table, too. You show them the worn gold ring you wear on the smallest finger of your left hand. He gave me this, you say. Do you see it? The motif? It was wrought the year before he was born. It was his gift to me as War Master. He said that I had become his centaur, half man, half army, that where I rode, the legions would ride with me. Well, I ride here now, and he will meet his dreadful Sagittary at last. You are my sons. Unlike him, I will not waste you. I will not squander you and send you to death without a passing thought just to serve my whim. My love for you and my pledge to you is this, that we will go into this together and stand together and triumph together and free the throne and the Imperium of Man from this tyrant together. And after, we will share the truth and wonder of Immateria Infinitum. For it is in us already, and fills our hearts and raises our spirits and whispers blessings in our ears. And it is the strength we need to face him and compel him and topple his deceit. You look at them. And when we are done, after this hour, you will live in glory. And you will be able to say, I was there the day Horus slew the Emperor. That is my pledge.